కలియుగ పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి అంతరాక్ష శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కి ప్రేమానందీ హరి హరి ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయా చక్షుః ఉన్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీ గురుః శ్రీయుత పద కమలం శ్రీగురోన్వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణ లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే పాంచాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేషు భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికి. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం థర్డ్ క్యాంటో టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ చాప్టర్ 15 టెక్స్ట్ 19. మందార కుందకురబోత్పల చంపకార్ణ పున్నాగ నాగ బకులాంబుజ పారిజాతాః గంధేర్చితే తులసికాభరణేన తస్యా యస్మిన్ తపస్సు మనసో బహుమానయంతి మందార కుంద కురబోత్పల చంపకార్ణ పున్నాగ నాగ బకులాంబుజ పారిజాతాః గంధేర్చితే తులసికాభరణేన తస్యా యస్మిన్ తపస్సు మనసో బహుమానయంతి మందార కుంద కురబోత్పల చంపకార్ణ పున్నాగ నాగ బకులాంబుజ పారిజాతాః గంధేర్చితే తులసికాభరణేన తస్యా యస్మిన్ తపస్సు మనసో బహుమానయంతి మందార కుంద కురబోత్పల కుందకురబోత్పల చంపకారణ అన్భేర్జితే తులసికాభరణేన తస్యా గబకులాంబుజ పారిజాతాః గంధేర్జితే తులసికాభరణేన తస్యా యస్మిన్ తపస్సు మనసో బహుమానయంతి మందార కుంద కురబోత్పల చంపకారణ నాగనాగబకులాంబుజ పారిజాతాః గంధేర్జితే తులసికాభరణేన తస్యా యస్మిన్ తపస్సు మనసో బహుమానయంతి మందార మందార కుంద కుంద కురబ కురబ ఉత్పల ఉత్పల చంపక చంపక అర్ణ అర్ణ ఫ్లవర్ పున్నాగ పున్నాగ నాగ నాగకేశర బకుల బకుల అంబుజ లిలి పారిజాతాః పారిజాత గంధే ఫ్రాగ్రెన్స్ అర్చితే బీయింగ్ వర్షిప్డ్ తులసికా తులసి ఆభరణేన విత్ గార్లాండ్ తస్యాః ఆఫ్ హర్ యస్మిన్ ఇన్ విచ్ వైకుంఠ తపః ఆస్టరిటీ సుమనసః గుడ్ మైండెడ్ వైకుంఠ మైండెడ్ బహు వెరీ మచ్ మానయంతి గ్లోరిఫై ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ పర్పూర్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఎస్సీ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాద్ శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్కి ఆల్దో ఫ్లవరింగ్ ప్లాంట్స్ లైక్ ద మందార కుంద కురబక ఉత్పల చంపక అర్ణ పున్నాగ నాగకేశర బకుల లిల్లీ అండ్ పారిజాత ఆర్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ ఫ్రాగ్రెన్స్ దే ఆర్ స్టిల్ కాన్షియస్ ఆఫ్ ద ఆస్టరిటీస్ పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ బై తులసి ఫర్ తులసి ఈస్ గివెన్ స్పెషల్ ప్రిఫరెన్స్ బై ద లార్డ్ హూ గార్లెండ్స్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ with tulasi leaves. Purport. The importance of tulasi leaves is very clearly mentioned here. Tulasi plants and their leaves are very important in devotional service. Devotees are recommended to water the tulasi tree every day and collect the leaves to worship the Lord. One time an atheistic Swami remarked, "What is the use of watering the tulasi plant? It is better to water eggplant. By watering the eggplant one can get some fruits. But what is the use of watering the tulasi? These foolish creatures, unacquainted with devotional service, sometimes play havoc with the education of the people in general. The most important thing about the spiritual world is that there is no envy among the devotees there. This is true even among the flowers, which are all conscious of the greatness of tulasi. In the Vaikuntha world, entered by the four Kumaras, even the birds and flowers are conscious of service to the Lord. One time in my travels, I went to a particular community where the leader told me, "Oh, you are disciple of Radhanath Swami Maharaj. It will be nice if you can give a lecture on Trinadapishanichana. Tarorapi Sahishnuna. That verse. Teach these fellows, you know, how to become more humble, and more tolerant, and always respect superiors. How to remain in their control," like that you are telling. So I was telling, this is a very difficult verse to speak on. I am myself working on it. And it is dangerous to speak on something which I am not realized fully, properly. And I told him that, if you wish, I can sit with you and talk to you privately in a room. We both can discuss about this verse. Very nice. He said, no, this is for these fellows. Those fellows have to learn how to offer respects to the authorities and how they should be humble. With folded palms they should receive instructions. And they should tolerate all difficulties that come, even if it is late nights. So he was saying that you should teach. Then I told him, actually, before we teach anyone anything, we have to ourselves struggle to apply it in our lives. And I said, if leaders like you apply this in your personal life, then many will copy it from you. They will learn from you. More things are caught than taught. Because we may speak many things with our mouth, people don't take it so seriously. Because people think that, you know, there is no dearth of speakers in this world. Everywhere there are people talking so many things. And it may be very easy to capture some information from various places and put them together and speak. So I told him that we have to be one out of the two categories. Either we should be living the principles or we should be struggling to live the principles. Both of them are acceptable according to Shastra. So we cannot artificially bring about some qualities in those to whom we are preaching to unless we ourselves are struggling to apply them in our personal life. So amazingly, in my life, wherever I travel, I get an opportunity to speak on topics on which I myself have to work on. It is Krishna's grace upon me. Now today also I have got such a shloka. A very nice verse which will teach me many valuable lessons to apply. And even making a weak effort to apply this type of consciousness explained in this chapter will give us a tremendous progress in Krishna consciousness. So, in this particular, yesterday we were hearing about different birds, very colorful, exotic, royal birds, which are all great singers. And they were very eager to hear the sound of the humming bee, because humming bee was glorifying the Supreme Lord. So they were all very enthusiastic to hear that singing of the humming bee. So there it is said, kathamiva gayamane. It said, the last line. What is that verse? Paravatanya prita sarasa chakravaka datyuha datyuha hamsa shukatittiri barhinamya kolahalo viramate chiramatra mucchaihi bhringadipe harikatam iva gayamane. So the harikatam iva means, actually was not singing harikata very perfectly, bumblebee. He was singing somewhat like a harikata. You can say like a neophyte devotee's talk in Krishna consciousness is mixed with many of his other leanings also. Somebody wants to talk Krishna consciousness, but he mixes with some Hindutva vada also. He mixes with some Sanskrit also. He mixes with some inclination for austerities and penances. He mixes with some intellectual type examples also. So in this way, a pure presentation of Krishna consciousness sometimes become mixed with neophyte leanings. So harikatam iva gayamane means he was singing something like a harikata, which may have certain defects and impurities also. But still, all those great singing birds were very happy to listen to the neophyte bumblebees singing. So that was one of the symptoms spoken in the previous verse. Similarly, today we are seeing in this verse a list of the most fragrant flowers are given here. Just like the birds could be considered kings in their field of singing, cuckoo is considered one of the kings, royal birds. Similarly, the list given here, there is no equivalent in English for many of them. Prabhupada is just repeating the same Mandara, Mandara, Kunda, Kunda, he says. Huh? So maybe we have to get some botanical names for all this. Huh? Maybe that. But these flowers have been listed out. They are all of the same jati. In what sense? With respect to their fragrance. Huh? They all are extremely fragrant. Just like the jasmine flower. You have seen the jasmine flower, and also you have seen that yellow flower. What do you call that? That long one. Champa, you call it? Yeah. That's very fragrant. Isn't it? Yeah. So that's a very fragrant flower, isn't it? So you have an idea of what a fragrant flower is, and all these are royal fragrant flowers which are listed here. And they are colorful. Some are big, some are small. But the most essential characteristic common to them is they all are very fragrant. Gandhi, he says. Gandha means the sugandha. So when all these flowers are blooming in the garden of Vaikuntha, at that time Lord Vishnu enters the garden wearing a big garland of tulasi. Tulasi ka abharane na tasya. He is wearing an ornament of tulasi garland. You have seen sometimes for the Lord they put a big garland of tulasi, completely green, fully. So Lord is wearing a garland like that and entering the garden. As soon as all these flower plants see Lord wearing tulasi, they are immediately bowing down to tulasi. Why they are bowing down? Yes means tapaha. The tulasi has performed great tapasya to attain the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. And they have a great respect for the tapasya performed by tulasi. Sumanaso bahumanayanti. And that Tulasi Maharani, by dint of her tapasya for Lord Vishnu, she has attained a very beautiful heart, a Vaishnavi heart. So that heart is very respectable and adorable and appreciable by all. Bahumanayanti. All the other great plants are bowing down with great respect. So, just like when we see somebody has served in ISKCON for 30 years, 40 years, somebody met Prabhupada in 1960s or 70s. When they come, their very presence deeply is appealing to us. Deeply touches our heart. One time I remember we had gone for a yatra. His Holiness Puri Maharaj was welcoming us to his ashram. So we were all sitting together, and he had told the devotees to distribute prasad. So everybody was carrying prasad in their hand, and the deity altar was open. So Shyamanand Prabhu was a little doubtful whether we can eat prasad now. Altar is open now. So we were just holding in the hand. And Puri Maharaj said, go ahead, all of you eat. And everybody was looking at one another, what to do. And then one of the senior devotees told Maharaj, the lordships are open, altar is open. We thought later on we will eat. He said, no, eat it, Lord will be very happy seeing his devotees eating. He said, of course, when the order came, immediately devotees finished their prasad. So, these are exalted personalities. They know the Lord's heart. So, when we meet great souls who have committed themselves, dedicated themselves for decades and decades together, Mahatmas. So, naturally we feel respect. Similarly, here Tulasi Maharani's great tapasya has been noticed by all these personalities. So, Tulasi means there is nobody equivalent to her in penance, and one who has pleased Lord Vishnu. Actually, there are many histories in the Puranas about the Tulasi's greatness. If one sits in front of Tulasi and focusing one's attention on the lotus feet of Tulasi and meditates or chants the holy name, then they will get samyak vyavasita buddhi. They will get a completely concentrated attention on the holy name. You know how difficult it is to get attention on the holy name. But if one sits in front of Tulasi and chants, that's what Haridas Thakur did. Haridas Thakur sat in front of a Tulasi and he was chanting the holy name. So what is there, magic or miracle in Tulasi, that she is able to bestow such a benediction upon the chanter, giving the chanter a one-pointed focus, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, how she gives. That is actually mentioned in the Puranas, that anyone who sees Tulasi, anyone who touches Tulasi, anyone who waters Tulasi, anyone who is touched by the puff of wind that touches Tulasi and touches us, or anyone who circumambulates Tulasi, such a person eternally lives in Vaikuntha. That promise is given in the Vishnu Purana, Padma Purana, and many other Puranas also. So, Tulasi is a great devotee of Krishna, but she appears in this world in the form of a plant, apparently looking like a simple plant, but she has the potency to bestow Krishna Prem or Krishna Bhakti on those who worship her. Just like our Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in that song, what he says, Tulasi dekhiya joda ye prana pada Tulasi dek. What is the first line? Madhava toshani jani. He says, no, Tulasi dekhi judaya prana madhava toshani jani. I know Tulasi to be a madhava toshani, means Krishna toshani, one who satisfies Krishna's heart. And that is why in the bhoga we offer leaves of Tulasi, and then immediately it becomes acceptable by Krishna. Immediately it becomes very dear to Krishna. She is a Keshava Priya, or Krishna Priya. How dear she is to Lord Vishnu or Krishna is revealed in this pastime, which I read in one book called Damodar by His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj. In his book, if you read the last few pages, probably in the last 10-12 pages, I think, you will get this pastime from one of the Puranas. Two Brahmanas walking in a jungle, one Sudharma and one another Brahmana is walking with them. As they both are proceeding in the jungle, suddenly one of the two, Sudharma, he sees a huge bunch of Tulasi plants. So as soon as he saw the bunch of Tulasi, he fell on the ground offering obeisances to Tulasi. While the other Brahmana is a little ignorant fellow, he was unaware of the glories of Tulasi. So he's asking, what is so great about this plant that you are falling at the ground and you are circumambulating Tulasi? You see, in the modern times they are finding out why, if a woman is circumambulating a banyan tree, she gets a baby. Why, if why people worship the peepal tree or Tulasi plant, they are giving some superficial scientific reasons, some medical purposes, or some kind of scientific explanation. Just like they give the superficial foolish explanation for the yajna also. Yajna, they say, if everybody in their house lit up fire, you know, based on some conduction, convection, radiation, you know, what happens in the rains are brought and things like that, they bluff. So, like that, there are many bluffs that scientists speak about. But one who does not care for the empirical explanations, but one who has a firm faith in the Shastric injunctions, and one who approaches these plants, especially Tulasi, for attaining Krishna Bhakti, then one very easily attains. So Tulasi, this Sudharma said, I will tell you the glory of this Tulasi plant. And he said, the sun is very hot today, so let us sit under that big banyan tree and let us have a katha, he said. So they both sat together. So the Sudharma, he spoke, he said, long before, when there was a Samudra Manthan Leela, in that time, at the end of that pastime, you all know, taking the Amrit Kalash, Lord Vishnu appeared. At that time, Lord Vishnu had tears of joy of accomplishment of the project of bringing out Amrit. Amrit has come out now. Even with the collaboration between Asuras and Devas. So Lord Vishnu was so joyful. You get two types of tears. One is a hot tear and another one cold tears. Hot tears when you are angry or upset or something. So cold tears, tears of joy also you get sometimes. So Lord Vishnu was getting tears of joy in his eyes, Dhanvantri. And when that fell in the Amrit Kalash pot, then immediately Tulasi came there. Tulasi plant grew up in the Amrit Kalash. Which shows actually the nature of Tulasi, that she is present where there is Krishna, Lord Vishnu's bliss or happiness. She is present there. So in India, it is, so this Sudharma was telling that story. As soon as he was telling, immediately that big tree, which was a vatavriksha, banyan tree, that got uprooted and it fell on the ground. And both the fellows got up from the tree and ran away to the side, seeing the huge tree falling. And then out came one very beautiful demigod, who narrated how he became a Brahma Rakshasa in the tree. So he was actually given a sentence for a very long period. Thousands of years he was living in that jungle, in that tree, as a Brahma Rakshasa. So he was telling, actually I am a heavenly damsel. I was once having some romantic time with one Apsara. I was taking a bunch of flowers and throwing it on her, but unfortunately it fell on the lap of an Agastya Rishi. Agastya Rishi looked up and Agastya Rishi became wild. Hey, this fellow, for his duet singing, he is disturbing my sadhana, my penance. So Agastya looked at me with angry eye and cursed me to become a Brahma Rakshasa. I immediately got down from the mountain and caught hold of his feet and cried tears of repentance and begged him for vimochan. So he told me, if you hear the glories of Tulasi and hear the names of Lord Vishnu, you will be delivered, he said. So he said, unfortunately, through this jungle pathway, so many fellows were coming, going, but nobody spoke about Tulasi. Today, you fellows came and sat and spoke. See, the Puranas, if you find amazing kathas, you find many of the kathas happen in jungles, and many of the jungle creatures get delivered also. Like I was reading about this Kartik Vrat. Once Vishwamitra went with a group of disciples. He took a bath in the holy river and he went and sat under a tree. And there he started telling the glories of Kartik Vrat. And out came one rat from the hole of a tree. And immediately he got a 400 form and flew up. I was wondering how this rat got the 400 form, because he heard the glories of Kartik Vrata. That is why you speak glories of Krishna. Who is getting delivered where, we cannot say. Some ant from the hole is getting delivered. So many fellows are roaming in this world with so many curses. And they get liberated, delivered. So we benefit and others also benefit. So, in this way, a lot could be said about Tulasi, Tulasi Maharani. There are many Puranic stories of many people delivered by Tulasi. The underlying statement is this, that we have to develop a divine vision, seeing the transcendental things as transcendental, and not seeing the transcendental things as mundane. Like the list which is given, Arjye Vishnu Shiladir Gurushu Naramatir Vaishnave Jati Buddhi Vishnorva Vaishnavanam Kalimala Matane Padatirtembu Buddhi Sri Vishnu Namni Sakala Kalushike Shabde Samanya Buddhi. So these are the 8 items. Can move it? Yeah. There is one very famous Tamil poet called Subramanya Bharati. So he wrote one song. He said, actually he is writing a song about how wherever you see Krishna. He says, in the taste of water you see Krishna. When you put your finger in the fire, you taste Krishna also. He said. So similarly, the rain also is another form of mercy. According to Shastra, it is counted as Kamam Bavarsha Parjanya. So, such a shower of rain is most welcome after the hot summer. Although foolish city people may consider it a nuisance. So, the last point I was telling was about how we have to see the spiritual items as spiritual. To the degree we are saintly, to that degree we can see saintliness in others also. In the same manner, to the degree we are spiritual in consciousness, to that degree we can see the spiritual items as spiritual items. Like you see, when Krishna took that big white stout conch shell, shank, and he blew it when he came into Dwaraka, the entrance of Dwaraka, when he blew the conch shell, the beautiful example is given of how the shank appeared like a white swan, and Krishna's lips appeared like a lotus. So sometimes a white swan plays in a lotus stem near the lotus flower. It delights in such a place. So it appeared like that. That's one example given. And another example is given how when he blew on the shank, Krishna's pinkish lips rendered the shank also glowing with that reddish color. So Prabhupada writes there, similarly, the mundane items become spiritualized by spiritual touch. By Krishna touch, the shank became reddish. Similarly, the items, we study about handling the sacred items. So in the early stage of spiritual life, we are told to see how to see the sacred things and be careful in dealing with them. For example, the garland. We know that we should be very careful in handling this, because what happened to Indra, we know very well. Foolishly, he took it out and gave it to his elephant, and elephant put it on the ground and crushed it, and then you know what happened. Like in Pune, once we generally go to station to receive the sannyasis. So one sannyasi had come. We took a garland of lotus, this rose petals. You know, rose petal garland is very fragrant, but the only problem is, it will fall like anything. So we went and we put for him, and it was all falling. He created a big scene. He said, "My Lord, pick up, don't leave even one of the petals down." In his bogey, he lifted, and then he asked for a cover and put everything inside. And he said, "You cannot afford to, put even one petal of that on the ground. It's a sacred thing. It has been worn by the Lord." So after seeing this thing, sometimes somebody is demonstrating it, then we also became more careful. And that personality is also known as Navagindra Maharaj. So, if you put garland for him, take care. Don't put a garland which has a flowering petals, which is falling off. So, actually, sometimes we may be a little unconscious, but by seeing great souls, very conscious and very attentive, how they deal with Tulasi, how they deal with the Lord's garland, how they deal with Lord's paraphernalia. So, then accordingly, like when you are dealing with the deities, we cannot go inside the altar room and yell and shout at one another. We cannot shout like that. Because the Lord is also hearing. Isn't it? In the presence of spiritual master, we will not do that. Correct? Even though we may be yelling, shouting, when the spiritual master comes, immediately we behave differently. Correct? In the same manner, in the presence of the Lord, that is why the Pancharatri Gavidhi teaches us how not to forget Krishna. And Bhagavata Vidhi teaches how to remember Krishna. How not to forget Krishna, for that there are many, many procedures given, how we should be clean, how we should be punctual, and how we should be cautious and attentive and careful in dealing in the presence of the deities. Similarly, there are many paraphernalia of the Lord which have to be dealt with in a very careful manner. And amongst the paraphernalia of the Lord, the Lord's confidential associates like Tulasi Maharani and even other devotees in general are very dear to the Lord. If you see the 29th chapter of the third canto, there are about 5-6 verses, very important verses. See, this is, I think, 329-21. See, the Lord is telling, Aham sarveshu bhuteshu bhutatma avasthitah sada tam avajnaya mam martyah kurute archa vidambanam. He is telling that I am present in every living entity, a super soul. If someone neglects or disregards the Lord in the heart, super soul, everywhere, and engages himself in the worship of the deity in the temple, that is simply imitation. So you know about the Prakrita Bhakta. Prakrita Bhakta is one who may come in front of the deities and offer flower or bow down or offer worship, but he does not have anything to give and take with the association of the devotees. Like I have seen many times in ISKCON temples also, you may find people come, and when there is aarti there, they will come. They will clap hands, they may offer some fruits also, to the Lord and go straight back. There are so many devotees sitting and hearing a Bhagavatam class, and the Bhagavatam class is of no consequence to them. One word also they may not hear, because they feel that my business is the deities only, not with the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the nature of a Prakrita Bhakta. Prakrita Bhakta means he feels connection with the deity, but not with the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, not with the devotional service, practical devotional service. Another meaning of Prakrita Bhakta is, somebody may be worshipping the deity of the Lord, but he may be more attached to saving Mahaprasad and privately eating. And he may sometimes quarrel with other neophytes also. A high stolen kept, how can you take it? Like that. So they also have direct relations with not only deities and deity Mahaprasad, both also. That is also neophyte. And he says, but his notion is Atmano Bhakti Darpataha. He thinks that my devotion is the best devotion. He imagines himself as a very advanced devotee, he says. So, he says, one who worships the deity of Godhead in temples but does not know that the Supreme Lord as Paramatma is situated in the living in his heart must be in ignorance and is compared to one who offers oblations into the ashes. Here the Lord is very strong about this. We will see why. What is the meaning of seeing that the super soul is in the heart of every living being? You see, when a small kid is walking alone in the road, you know, in case you are upset with him, you can pinch him or slap him. Correct, no? But if the kid is also walking with his father, and the kid did something yesterday in your house, you know, he came and broke something, you are very angry also. Probably you'll report to the father. Correct, no? You will tell the father, you know, see, he came to our house and he broke the glass or something, he threw a stone, or he was playing cricket, you know, the ball came and broke our window. See, your kid is a small kid, but he caused 2,000 rupees damage. Then the father may pay. Correct. But in the presence of the father, you catch hold of that small kid and give a tight slap below his ears. Then what will happen? By the time you complete your slap, you will get another slap also. Correct, no? Because that child is not alone. The child is accompanied by the father also. So, this is one vision that we have to see, that in the world we are living, all the living entities are superior to dead matter. That Kapila will say later on. How a dry leaf falling from a tree, that is inferior to a leaf connected to the tree. And similarly, amongst the living entities also, there are higher and higher grades of living entities. Some things achar, it cannot move only. It is punished to stay in one place. Some living entities can move from place to place. And there are more and more developed consciousness, like we have the Avrita Chetana, Sankuchit Chetana, Mukulit Chetana, Vikasit Chetana, Purana Vikasit Chetana. So, to the degree the Chetana is more Vikasit, more blossomed, to that degree more respect is given also to the living entities. Isn't it? So, like you see a Maharaja is actually a person who doesn't have a single penny. Somebody may say, what type of Maharaja is a Maharaja? He doesn't have a single penny, but he has one very great wealth, which even many great kings don't have, which is he has controlled his senses and focused them on Krishna completely. He has become Akinchana. And he is simply joyful with nothing. Just like the Avadhut Brahmana you find in the 11th canto, who was roaming in the jungle, and Yadu asked him, you are smiling and you are cheerful and so happy, happily situated, although you possess nothing, you are like a child. You are looking like an innocent child. How is it that you are so happy possessing nothing? So that is why there is a saying in English, possession is pain. Sometimes you possess and your anxieties increase by possessing things also. But he was possessing nothing but Krishna. So he was very happy. So such people are also called as Maharaj. A person who is master of vast lands, and elephants and horses and chariots and praja, he is one type of Maharaj. Another type of Maharaj is one who has conquered his senses and engaged them in Lord's service. He's another type of Maharaj also, which is not a very easy thing to do. So in this way, as the consciousness blossoms more and more, then the respect given to the such living entities is also more. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, and Jayavadharma, he says, Anudita Viveka, he says. Anudita Viveka means those living entities whose consciousness has not yet become awakened. They are called Anudita Viveka. Udita means to arise. Anudita means it has not yet, just like the sun has not arisen. Anudita. Viveka means, so he says that, that the best of the Anudita Viveka is the Brahmanas, he says. And the Vaishnavas are Udita Viveka, in whose hearts Krishna has arisen. Their faith in Krishna has arisen. Even a Kanishta Adhikari, Bhakta, who has a firm faith, Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Krita Hai, that faith he has in his own neophyte way. He is superior to a Brahmana who may be very exalted and learned in all the Vedanta and everything. Because in his heart, the understanding of absolute truth may be nirakar, or he may be worshipping many demigods. He doesn't have one-pointed faith in Krishna. Whereas there is a Kanishta pure devotee, Madhyama pure devotee, Uttama pure devotee also. Who is a Kanishta pure devotee? He may be in Kanishta platform, but he has a firm faith that Krishna is the ultimate shelter of everyone and everything. He has that faith. So, like that Kaviraj Goswami explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also. So, the Anudita Viveka people, how do they come to the Udita Viveka platform? Only by the association of a devotee. By the association of great Mahatma souls, by hearing, through Shravanam, with some little bit of Shraddha, and then the Shraddha increases more and more. Shraddha has to be obtained from someone having Shraddha. So Bhakti Sanjayate Bhakti, it is said. So in this way, the Shastras say that one who is a Mahat should be greatly respected, because they are the ones through whom we can see Krishna, we can attain the lotus feet of Krishna. And that is why they have to be treated with utmost respect. Just like you say, you read in the Bhagavatam, when the Sagar Maharaja's 60,000 sons, they went in search of the horse. So they came down to the Patala Lokas. At one place, they found the horse tied up, and very nearby, Lord Kapila was sitting and performing meditation. So, see, sometimes when you see things with the eyes, like in Tamil we have a saying, Kannal Kanpadam Poi, Kadal Ketpadam Poi, Tira Visaripade Mai. They say, what is the meaning of that? What you see with eyes, don't trust. Or hearsay. Hearsay means somebody is speaking some rumor, don't hear and believe. So one has to, it says that one has to approach people who are authoritative. And one has to analyze twice before one can totally accept a fact, because we may end up judging wrongly many times by the superficial observations we make. Because, you know, you will find whenever there is an argument, different people have made different observations. Say, a palm fruit is falling from a tree. Somebody says, because the wind is blowing so heavy, the fruit fell off. Somebody says, no, a crow came and sat on the branch. Due to the weight of the crow, the fruit fell off. Somebody may say, no, actually the fruit was very ripe and it was about to fall off only. But before the crow's leg reached the branch, the fruit fell already. Isn't it? Or somebody may say, by a combination of all the three, the crow also sat, the fruit also is ripe, wind also blew. So different people can speculate different things, how the fruit fell. So, of course, intelligent person will pick up the fruit, eat and go. He will not waste time. Isn't it? Similarly, there are so many speculators, jnanis and yogis arguing about what the absolute truth is. Like Prabhupada called in Vrindavan, when he saw two big Vedic scholars with big turbans, they could not explain to Prabhupada what the absolute truth is. They said, Swamiji, you are asking what is absolute truth? That's a very difficult question. We will take several hours to explain what absolute truth is. Prabhupada called one Gurukul child and asked, who is the Supreme Personality of God? He said, Prabhupada, Krishna is Supreme Personality of God. Prabhupada said, take this cake, eat and go. So the child ate and went away very happily. So in this way, Prabhupada said, in our ISKCON, even a four-year-old child can preach, like Saraswati, who was calling all the passers-by, do we know who is God? She would ask. They would say, They themselves are confused whether Shiva is God or Krishna is God or Vishnu is God. They don't know. I don't know. Then she said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You don't know. So Prabhupada said, just see how she is preaching powerfully. He said, so, in this way, the what point I said before this point of fruit falling? Anudita Vivek becomes Udita Vivek. How? By associating with great souls, I said. But after that, one more point I made. Before going to the fruit point. Sagar Maharaj, yeah. Sagar Maharaj, his 60,000 sons were watching the horse. They watched Lord Kapila and they wrongly speculated. What they speculated? This fellow is closing his eyes and sitting like a Sadhu Baba, peacefully meditating. But it seems that he is a chore, he is a thief, who stolen the horse. Immediately, they said, attack him, kill him, cut him. So they pounced upon him. And then when Lord turned around and looked at them, next moment they were all burnt to ashes. And Bhagavatam, it specifically mentioned, it is not due to his anger that they were burnt to ashes. They were burnt by their own, you know, bad karma. They were burnt by their own misbehavior, wrong behavior. On the other hand, you will see the another queen of Sagar Maharaj, his son's son, Anshuman. Asamanja's son was Anshuman. No? So when Anshuman came there, he also saw the same scene. Correct? He saw the horse, he saw Lord Kapila. But then he bowed down to Kapila, he recognized Kapila's position as a Supreme Lord. And he glorified him. And when Lord Kapila saw him mercifully, then he bestowed upon him transcendental knowledge. And he got the horse also, transcendental knowledge also. You see, because he dealt with Lord Kapila respectfully. Similarly, you find the brothers of Nabada, you know, they were all cheaters. They cheated Nabaga by taking away all the property and they told Nabaga, we will give you father as a share. Keep it with you. They all went away laughing. But then later on, Nabaga told the father, my dear father, they have given you as my share. The father laughed and said, no, I am not your share. What will you do with me? I am an old man. You are not going to get any benefit from me. But I can give you a clue by which you can get some wealth, because in this world to live, to fulfill your household duties, you need to have some wealth. So, sometimes in certain families, some weak brothers are cheated by stronger brothers, like might is right principle. Just like Jadavarta's brothers were also like that. So, I think this is the law of the world. You will find in this world, so you find like the Jadavarta's brothers, similarly you find Nabaga's brothers also did like that. So, Nabaga, what he did, his father told him, sixth day from today, when the Brahmanas are chanting the Vedic mantras, they will be falling short of two mantras which they will need. And these are the two mantras. If you give, supply these two mantras to them, they will be so happy with you, they will bestow all the wealth of the sacrifice to you. So he took that and went. Exactly it happened on sixth day. Brahmanas were looking for some help and he gave them help. They became very pleased. They said, here is the wealth of the sacrifice, you take and go. When he was about to take and go, Lord Shiva appeared there. So Shiva said, no, the wealth of the sacrifice is mine, he said. So now, what do you think he did, Nabaga? Do you think he took a sword and started having a fight? Next scene. No. He said, if Shiva is, he told Shiva, let us ask my father. My father only has told me to take this wealth. So the Shiva and him, they both went to Nabaga's father. And the father said, beta, what he is saying is correct. It's all Shiva's wealth only. He is supposed to receive this. Now he didn't fight with his father. Father, what is this? You told me to take the wealth and now you are saying it is Shiva's. You have broken your words. What integrity you have. He didn't fight with his father also. He offered obeisances to his father, offered obeisances to Lord Shiva and said, please take your wealth. My father has told that it is yours. I am sorry. I didn't know that it is yours. You please take it. So, when I read this past time, I was so thrilled. Because when we were in going for this NCC, our teacher once used to say a story. In army, when you join, the boss will tell you dig the ground here. He'll tell you one place. You make a circle of 1 meter diameter circle. You dig the ground, 1 meter down. So they would do that. The next day, he will come and see near this tree, he told to dig the ground. But he will go and see that tree. Hey, where is the place I told you to dig here? You have not done? They will ask like that. And that fellow will say, sir, I already come there. I have done it there. I didn't tell you there, I told you here. So then some boys, they will get wild. Do you think I'm a fool? No, you told me there, I have done it there, and today you are asking here. Akalaga, no, that kind. Then they throw them out of the job. Then another type of person will say, sir, yesterday you actually told me to do that, so I did that. If you want me to do here, I will do here. You know, like that he may say. There are some people are like that. So then the boss will say, no, actually I told you to do here only. Sir, you told me to do here, but as far as my memory serves me right, you told me to do there, but okay, if you want me to do here, I will do. This is one category. Then another category, he is coming and looking for the whole year, is not there. Why have you made there, you fool? He says, sorry sir, I will do it here. And then he gets into action, digging. So he is the fellow taken for army front especially. When one is going to the army front where you have to fight the battle, you know, lift the gun, we lift the gun, put it down, we put it down. Then only you can fight. Otherwise, if you say lift the gun, he puts the gun down. And he says stand up, and he means lying down. You know what will happen? Isn't it? Correct. Similarly, Nabaka's father told him that, you know, you go and take the wealth, he is telling first. And now he is saying, no, that wealth is Shiva's only. But he was ready to surrender like that. What class of surrender you can see? He gave it to Shiva, and he offered obeisance to Shiva and told sorry also to Shiva. He didn't become envious of Shiva that, you know, this wealth was supposed to be mine and this old bitch Maga, you know, he has come in between and taken away the wealth. He didn't feel like that. He offered obeisance to him also. At that time, Lord Shiva became pleased. He said, I bestowed transcendental knowledge upon you. Like that he gave. And you take the wealth also. Both he got. So, you will find like that the respect of great souls. Respect for Shiva, respect for his father also. Nabaga. So, I was telling you a couple of examples, respect for Lord Kapila and respect for Shiva here. In this way, the Shastras say that, how do we develop that type of respect? One of the points we discussed earlier was, by seeing saintliness in others, we will be able to develop respect. And by seeing the spiritual nature of transcendental objects, like the deities, or the holy name, or Tulasi, or the flowers offered to Lord and all these things. By seeing the spiritual nature of these items, they are all Brahmaspad. They are called Brahmaspad, means they are all glowing with Brahma Tejas, all of these things. And they all are spiritual items. They are all in relation to the Lord, Tadiya. And amongst all the Tadiya, the Lord's devotees are considered the topmost of the Tadiya. Tadiyanam Samarchanam, like that Shiva also says. So, there are two types of Lord's devotees. One are the pure devotees and one are the general devotees. The pure devotees are compared to the Lord wearing a necklace around his neck. You have seen the beautiful necklace the Lord wears around his neck, which was polished by the rotation of the Mandara Parvat. So, those crystal are jewel necklace items, they are compared to the pure devotees who are actually close to the bosom of the Lord. They are touching the chest of the Lord, which means, you know, we generally keep that which is most valuable in the chest. That's why in Vedic life you will see people in the kurta, they have a packet here. You've seen that some people have a packet here in kurta. So they'll keep Lakshmi here only, because Lord Narayana also keeps Lakshmi in the chest. You've seen that he keeps Lakshmi in the, that is why in Vedic, now people keep in the jeans behind. Because what they keep in the jeans is Chanchala, not Lakshmi. Lakshmi is supposed to reside here. Isn't it? So, similarly the Lord keeps devotees close to his heart. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives three reasons why we should respect the devotees. This is one reason he gives. Because the devotees are very close to Lord's heart. So, they should be respected. Because Lord reveres them so much. Like in one verse, Lord says to Brahmanas that, you know, when the Brahmanas are walking, I go behind them and from their footprints, I take some dust and apply on my head. Because I have applied it on my head, you know, my lotus feet have become sacred and worshipable, due to which When Viraja waters touched my feet, it has become sacred Ganges. Or there are many of my devotees who want the dust from my feet. And why my, how the dust of my feet has become a very valuable commodity. Maal ka daam kaise bad gaya hai? How it has become such a big maal, you know, very rare maal? Because I am taking the dust of my devotees on my head, the Lord is saying. So, in this way the Lord adores the devotees. Chakravarti Thakur says, not only the pure devotees are very special, even the other devotees, he says, why? He says, the bhumi on which we are sitting is Lakshmi, isn't it? Bhuv padav yasya nabir bhyada surani lash chandra suryavsh chanetre karnavasha shirodhya ur mukamapi dagano yas. So in this line he says, bhuv padav yasya nabir bhyada surani lash chandra surya. The Lord's two eyes are the sun and moon, and his lotus feet is the boo, it is said. So where the Lord's lotus feet is there Lakshmi is residing. Lakshmi is also Boo Devi, she is residing. So all of us right now are sheltered in the lap of Lakshmi and the lotus feet of the Lord. Both are same only. In the lotus feet of the Lord, Lakshmi is residing. So mother, goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, she is actually sitting. One of her forms is the Boo Devi form. Because all the jivas are sheltered in the lotus feet of Vishnu, they should be respected. If somebody is sheltered in the feet of Vishnu, because Vishnu's feet are worshipable by us, and we take the sacred dust. And because the jivas are also residing in the same place, they also deserve to be respected for having achieved the good fortune of residing in lotus feet of Vishnu. For that, we have to respect them. That way, there are no jivas which are unsheltered. Every jiva is sheltered in the lotus feet of Vishnu in this world. So because of that we should respect, he says. Jiva should be respected. And another reason I told you before, that no jiva is not accompanied by super soul. So one should see the whole universe resting on Krishna's lotus feet, and one should see Krishna having entered into the entire universe in all its details of atoms and space between the atoms. There is no place where Krishna is not present in his super soul form. So one who can see, one who can have the vision to see that the Lord has permeated the whole universe. The Shruti mantras also say that this, in Bhagavatam also there are shlokas which say, Idamhi Vishwam Bhagavan Ivetaro, it is said. Idamhi Vishwam, this whole universe itself is God, it is said. Why it is God? Because God has permeated it completely in every atom, in the heart of every living being. In space between the atoms, there is not a single place where his presence is not felt. Everywhere he is present. So, Lord has entered into everything, and everything is resting on the Lord's feet. Yavam pashyati sarvatra sarvamcha mayi pashyati, he says. Seeing like this, and seeing the special role of the living entities who are all chidvastu, conscious entities, which are servants of the Lord. And among the conscious living entities, also beginning from Avrit Chetana, Sankujit, Mukulit, there is Vikasit and Purana Vikasit. So the Vikasit is the human form, and Purana Vikasit is the Vaishnava. Somebody in whose body and mind and words, you know, Vaishnavatva is manifesting. He is able to understand the personality of Godhead. He is willing to bow down to God. He is willing to circumambulate, willing to chant the holy names. He is singing and dancing, and in his heart he has a firm faith that Ashtasattvika Vikar manifested by a Premi Bhakta is the highest attainment in life, and I also wish that in after a million lifetimes I will also attain that position where my heart will be throbbing with devotion, my eyes will be welling up with tears, hair will stand on end, and I will cry out the holy name feelingly. So if a devotee develops such pure spiritual desires, he's a Vaishnava devotee. One who accepts that the God has a personal form as Vishnu and Krishna and Ram, and Lord has an abode, and there are very sweet exchanges between Lord and his devotees there in that abode. He's a Vaishnava, one who has that faith. So, awakening of faith in these items cannot be done by any amount of scholarship. It cannot be attained by any amount of vastness of knowledge, because the knowledge is measured by its vastness and faith is measured by its depth. The depth of faith increases by pure association. the association of Vaishnavas who have faith in their hearts, that faith is actually transmitted contagiously. Prabhupada says human reasoning fails to explain how such things happen. So, the one of the ways is association with Mahatmas we get. So, Jagai Madai's only qualification was they never offended a Vaishnava, because of which they had access to Lord Chaitanya's mercy through Nityananda eventually. So, in this way, the respect for other living entities is also taught. Even though the living entities may apparently show some flaws and defects due to the four defects that come in this world, still one should see the chit vastu, which is the part and parcel of Krishna. One should see that. One of the reasons for us to respect other living entities is also fear of aparadha. We may not want to commit aparadha after having learned about the devotees of the Lord being the most special tadiya of the Lord. We may respect. Another reason for our respecting other living entities may be due to our respect for superiors like spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas, to please them. We may respect someone whom we find it difficult to respect. We may still respect. But there is one special quality which, if we cultivate, our respect for the devotees also can be greatly increased, which is what Sudama Brahmana did. Sudama Brahmana, it is said, in the 81st chapter of the 10th canto, you find there is one word towards the end of that chapter. See, here he says, evam sa vipro bhagavat suhrittada drishtva svabhrityai rajitam parajitam tadhyana vegot gratitatma bandhanas tadhama leve chiratahasatam gatim. See, tat dhyana vega, it is said. What is that dhyana vega? Sudama was doing dhyan. Dhyan is one aspect of smaranam. He was doing smaranam of all the dealings and exchanges he had with Krishna in the Dwaraka palace where he went. He saw how Krishna, who is the Lord of the universe, who is a Vishwa Bhavanaha, one who magically satisfies all living entities simply by putting a grain in his mouth, and one who is a supplier of everything to everyone in this world, and one who is the most opulent, possessor of all the six opulences. Such a great personality, Lord, he says here, drishtva svabhrityair ajitam parajitam. He, such a Lord Krishna, became servant of his own devotee, svabhrityair. So he became servant of his own devotee, ajitam parajitam. He became conquered. The inconquerable Lord became conquered by his devotee. That, he says, that I watched with my own eyes. And he was remembering various Kalyana Gunas of Krishna, the auspicious qualities of Krishna. I was recently speaking on this Sudama's pastime, Krishna's pastime in Pune. So I heard of Gauranga Prabhu speaking in London, 5 lectures. I liked Gauranga Prabhu's lectures so much, I heard them almost 10 times practically. So, what he has done, he has taken these verses and given very wonderful headings. So I will share those headings with you, which will be very quick and easy for us to remember and meditate. One of the first things that Sudama is admiring is Krishna's expertise, Krishna's greatness and his expertise. He is marrying 16,108 queens and he is giving them all one palace each and giving them saris and ornaments and personal audience also he is giving them. Seeing that even Narada was stunned also. Such an expert Lord who is conducting millions of universes very easily. And that particular expert Lord had a great integrity. That's the second quality. What is that integrity Lord showed? He speaks about the glory of Brahmanas in Shastra. But he doesn't just do lip service. But he, on a practical level, he serves the Brahmanas. When Narada comes to his court, he makes him sit and washes his feet. When Sudama Brahmana came, he washed his feet also. And Pada Sambhadan Adibhi, he was massaging his feet, talking to him very sweetly. So, in this way, the Lord serves his devotees, that is his integrity. And he has no prestige issue in the public public place where all were watching, all general population was watching, he came and embraced Sudama Brahmana. Generally people are very high prestige, you know, they think twice before being liberal with poor people and all. Like, you know, Dushmant Maharaj, when he saw that lady came with Bharat and said, "I am your wife," he immediately refused flatly, because he thought, what will the public think? Huh? People will say that suddenly a woman comes and claims to be my wife. He refused until the Akashwani spoke up and everyone heard it, and then he accepted her, isn't it? Generally, very rich people have prestige problem. Actually, I was not aware of this. One time I had invited a big Karodapati along with Lakhpatis also. So the Karodapati became a little offended. Later on, some of them who know the science of dealing with, you know, Karodapatis, they said, "See, Karodapati means you should call only Karodapatis. Arapati should be called along with Arapatis. Karapati should be along with Karapatis. But Krishna is the only Lakshmipati who doesn't demand you have to be Lakshmipati to associate with me. You can be Akinchana and associate with me," he says. So, all other fellows have prestige problem, you see, in this world. Whereas, Lord Krishna has such integrity, he saw. Not only that, he saw the intimacy. So the intimacy of Lord Krishna, what is that intimacy? Intimacy has three components: humility, affection, and respect. See, if somebody respects you, you immediately feel humble. And if somebody shows humility, it's a very magnetic quality. You become attracted to them. And somebody shows specific affection for you, shows interest in you, you also become interested in them. And Krishna has all these three qualities: humility, affection, and respect, which is combined together called intimacy. So, in this way, Krishna showed intimacy with Sudama, talking about the old days and Gurukula, and also feeding him prasad, washing his feet, and leisurely spending time with him very intimately. So Krishna's dealings, and also he was remembering how even his good wife, Rukmini, she was fanning me also. To please the Lord, she was also rendering service. So in this way, Krishna's expertise, integrity, and intimacy, and all these qualities were all passing in the mind of Sudama. Tadhyana vega. Similarly, later on, after he saw the house had expanded into a huge palace and everything, Sudama saw it. Then again he has another series of 3-4 prayers of contemplation. So in that prayer he is thinking how Krishna distributes mercy, how he magnifies the little service we do to him. I gave him only one palmful of chipped rice and he accepted it so gratefully, graciously. He magnified it. Like, you know, Chakravarti Thakur also says this, asadu, atyasadu, parama asadu. Similarly, he says, mahat, mahattara, mahattama. He says, for example, asadhu means one who sees only bad in others. Sorry, one who sees good and bad, but he highlights bad. He says, "Chika ye bhi hai usme, phir bhi," you know, like that they will say. He has this kind of thing. They may criticize like that. Whereas those who are atyasadhu, they see only bad. Like Duryodhana saw only bad in others. And there are people who will take a small bad and magnify it, like Durvasamani magnifying Ambarish's fault of breaking the fast with water. Or you find Daksha magnifying. Shiva did not get up, that's the only small mistake he did. And he made a big issue out of it. It's called the Paramasadhu. Similarly, Mahat means they see good and bad, but they highlight good generally. But sometimes they may give feedback with the desire to help elevate a person. They are called Mahat. Especially one who is a spiritual master, he sees the good and bad and he tells us the bad for our own growth. And Mahattara means they see only good. The Yudhishthira Maharaj sees only good in others. And Mahattama means they take even a small good and they make it very big. Or, in other words, even though there is no good, they are able to see good. Like Haridasa Thakur could see some good in the prostitute. Prabhupada could see some good in the hippies. Yeah. Like one devotee was telling, you know, somebody jumped into their house, a thief. The train. Somebody entered his place and he stole away his wallet. And that thief was having a shining knife also. He said, such a good thief, Prabhu. You know, he only took my wallet. He didn't stab me. Such a good fellow, he said. So he could see good in the thief also. You know, yeah, thief is showing a knife. But so somebody can see good even in a person, in a bad person also. And Krishna has that quality. He magnifies a small good in a person into very big. That's what Sudama thought. What did I do for Krishna and what did he do for me? He did so much for me in Dwaraka itself. And now here also he built such a beautiful palace and everything for me. And he has done so much for me and I gave him only one palmful of chipped rice. And he considers that a very great gift. So, this Dhyana Vega means we should do Dhyana of such sublime transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord. The more we do meditation of such qualities also enter into our system. Whatever we admire, we appreciate with the mouth. Whatever we appreciate, we try to emulate. Whatever we try to emulate painstakingly, gradually it becomes a part of our character. That is how we will internalize these wonderful qualities which Krishna is exhibiting towards Sudama Brahmana. So, in this way he says here, thus seeing how the unconquerable Supreme Lord is nonetheless conquered by his own servants, the Lord's dear Brahmana friend felt the remaining knots of material attachment within his heart being cut by the force of his constant meditation on the Lord. This is the secret line. The force of his constant meditation on the Lord. In a short time he attained Lord Krishna's supreme abode, the destination of the great saints, he says. So, in this way, there are two aspects we are talking. Kapila says, warnings, not to disrespect devotees. And here we find Sudama Brahmana developing transcendental qualities by meditation on Lord's sublime qualities. Similarly, the pure devotees' sublime qualities are also worth meditating. In the Bhagavatam it is said, as much as Lord is worth glorifying, pure devotees are also worth glorifying. Sometimes neophyte students, when they come to temple, they get shocked to see Prabhupada being worshipped so gorgeously with Guru Puja and everything. They come and ask, you know, why the Swamiji is given such a special respect? Because they don't know worshipping a great soul is even superior to worshipping the Lord himself also. Because when a pure devotee is worshipped, Lord becomes very pleased. Actually, to attract Krishna's attention is very difficult. You directly go in front of Krishna and say, hey Krishna, I have come here. He will ask you, hey, who are you? What were you doing so many millions of lifetimes roaming here and there for sense gratification? Suddenly, who are you, isn't it? He cannot recognize us when we go directly in front of him. But when we serve his pure devotees in Guru Parampara, we serve, when they recommend us, then we become attractive. Then Krishna considers that very seriously. Just like Lord Nityananda recommended Jagaya Madai. So, the pure devotee's job is to catch the hand of the devotee and lift him up and place it in the Lord's lotus feet. Lord is very difficult to reach because we are very much down and Lord is very much up. And the pure devotees, they bridge the gap between the two. They lift us up to get the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So, in this way, Tulasi Maharani is also such a devotee who deserves to be worshipped as she is being respected by the other personalities in the spiritual world. Prabhupada is talking about one foolish Swami who is criticizing Tulasi Maharani. The same Swami said, instead of studying Bhagavad Gita, I'll play football. So there are many people like that you find in India. We only can feel pity for their not getting the opportunity to get a Sadguru coming in Guru Parampara in their life. Prabhupada wrote a letter to Gandhi also to become a Vaishnava. Prabhupada told him, if you become a Vaishnava, whole India will follow you because you are father of the nation. But we don't know whether Gandhi read that letter or not. We don't know. But Prabhupada wrote a beautiful letter. We can learn from Prabhupada how to write letters to great leaders. So, in this way, sometimes even so-called great leaders of the country, they never had a Vaishnava guru to guide them. And because of which, you know, he is saying Tulasi so superficially. How not to see Tulasi, he is teaching us. How to see Tulasi in a mundane way. So, if anybody sees the spiritual items in a mundane way, he has a prakrita buddhi. And people with prakrita buddhi will have stupid consciousness. They can never elevate their consciousness. That's like a man in a jail. He can look out of the bars of the jail towards the mud, or he can look towards the stars. The choice is his. Similarly, we can have a transcendental vision, or we can have a stupid mundane vision. So, Srila Prabhupada gives in all his books about how to elevate our vision to transcendental vision. Because all these great fragrant-smelling plants are all wonderful, pure devotees in the spiritual world. They have a transcendental vision. They look at each other as transcendental personalities. Especially Tulasi, they are able to offer such a respect to her. Because Tulasi doesn't have a big fruit. Tulasi doesn't have a big flower. The only glory of Tulasi is she is a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord and very dear. She is a Keshava Priya. Knowing that she is very dear to the Supreme Lord, they all are offering respects. Similarly, as Tulasi is to be respected, the other devotees of the Lord, who are also the Lord's paraphernalia, who are very dear to Lord, if they are respected, Sakale samman kori te shakati deho nata yata yata tabe todai bohari nama sukhe aparadaha behata. Then our chanting of the holy name will become relishable and tasty. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.
Projector.